Yes.
I don't know if this is where is this where I would maybe move to amend that language before we vote on that language?
I believe so, Ms. Hansen. Thank you.
I just want to say that I don't know. To me it sounds like, well, if you still live there, you're lucky enough to get some money back. And I'm not comfortable with that. So I would be in favor of changing the language to include the past 6 years, to include residents who have lived in those places and paid these bills that are higher than what they should have been paying. But what it sounds like is people who live there that moved along are like kind of out of luck. And that sounds kind of cheap to me.
So you're recommending that we amend, include in the amendment, and I'm going to try to take a stab at this, is whereas the budget modification ordinance will allow the city to provide financial relief for previous and all present occupants of residence on 7th Avenue for up to the previous 6 years.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll change that language too. Did you get that, Mr. Morgan?
So it would be to
you actually have to make a, I'm
remove
sorry, Mr. Mayor, you got to, you, someone has to make a motion to do that.
I understand, Mr. Diamond. I just wanted to make sure that Mr. Morgan had captured the verbiage first.
Yeah, so I believe the verbiage would be financial relief for the previous and present owner occupants of residences on 7th Avenue for up to the previous 6 years.
So moved.
That's correct, Ms. Thank you, Mr. Diamond. There's a motion on the floor to amend. And
Hey, excuse me.
Mr. Springer?
No, it's Bill. I hate to interrupt, but I don't know how to interrupt on this Zoom stuff.
Rules are still suspended. Bill, go ahead.
All right. So my question is, going through this whole process, it's tough for us to get information from power companies and find out who did what, who lived where. I would suggest possibly putting in, okay, if somebody wants to come and claim X bills for past due stuff, maybe, okay, you got 6 months to do this. Or a year to do it, whatever you guys want to decide. But it's really difficult for us to go get information from, utility companies and everything else without, owner's permission. We can't just call the utility company up and say, hey, who lived there? We owe them some money. We just can't do that. So we got to look at that aspect of it too.
Ms. Strickler.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Similarly to how the city processed the reimbursement on sales tax for the sale of a home, I think that it would be okay if we provided public notice to the residents of this community and said, for the extent of this fiscal year, you have claim to the budget modification funds that have been set aside for this utility reimbursement. Go ahead and provide us copies of your utility bills, and we'll go ahead and process the payment. I think the opportunity there is sort of simple, and we can provide public notice for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler.
And Mr. Mayor,
For Mr. Diamond.
I was just going to say, and so the motion to amend the amendment doesn't preclude any of that. So we could pass this, and then the city still gets to work with a notification process. And it did work with the home sales tax. So I think we could do that. And I don't think we, I personally, I don't think we need to mess with this language anymore after we pass the two amendments, because it doesn't prevent us from notifying the public, any possible residents who live there.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Further discussion. So there's a motion on the floor to amend the amendment for changing said language. I'm not going to read through it again. All those in favor of such indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. So, okay, thank you. Mr. Springer, Councilman Springer?
I'm back.
Thank you. We just voted on the motion to amend the amendment by inserting and striking said language on the whereas number three. Did you get all that?
No, I didn't, but that's okay. If it passed, I'm fine.
Yes, sir, it did pass. It was 6-0 without your vote. Thank you, Mr. Spring. I wanted to give you the opportunity to have your piece. So moving on to voting on the motion to the amendment. And we discussed the heck out of this one. But all those in favor of the motion for the amendment indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay.
Sorry.
Whoops, sorry. All those opposed say nay. And so this is the item 10.2, which is the introduction of ordinance 20-12. Since this is a ordinance, the main motion on the floor is to introduce the budget ordinance 20-12, B as in Bravo. We'll do a roll call. All those in favor of such, Mr. Morgan, indicate by saying aye.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a record of somebody making a motion to introduce it or to second it.
Got it. So I think I'm trying to push things along a little too fast for everybody. So there is, I'll entertain a main motion to introduce budget ordinance 20-12.
I'll move that. Motion to move forward ordinance 20-12 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Do I have a second?
This is Michelle. I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Further discussion? I think we've clarified this budget ordinance quite well. All those in favor of the introduction of ordinance 20-12, again by roll call, Mr. Morgan will do such, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Oh, sorry.
Oh. Councilmember Springer?
Yes.
Councilmember DeWitt?
Yes.
Councilmember Leary?
Yeah.
Councilmember Diamet?
Yes.
Councilmember Franco?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen?
Yes.
Mayor Barr?
Yes. Great. The ordinance or the introduction of has passed unanimously. So we're up to item 10.3, the introduction of budget ordinance 20-12, C as in Charlie, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year budget 2021 professional services. And that passed on the consent agenda. Item 10.4, resolution 2020-12, formally naming municipal parks. That was brought forth by Councilmember DeWitt. That passed on the consent agenda. There's a item 10.5, which is a resolution 20-13 in response to the public health emergency requiring municipal meetings to be held virtually until November 1st, 2020, and providing for the issuance of vouchers to elected and appointed officials compensate for their virtual connectivity. That was brought forth by Vice Mayor Hansen. And that was pulled from the consent agenda again. So I would entertain a motion to adopt resolution 20-13.
So moved.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen.
Second, this is Councilor Leary.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Discussion. As the maker of the motion, Ms. Hansen, you have first debate.
Yeah, so basically what this is doing is requiring that all meetings held, municipal meetings held either through commissions, council meetings, committee meetings, that those are held virtually. We've heard a lot over the weeks and months about the city not doing enough when it comes to COVID and protecting people and mandates and that. And I just thought this was a good time to, a good example of walking the walk and not just talking the talk. And so by holding these meetings virtually, it allows people to remain at their homes or if they call in from their workplace or wherever, but still able to participate in these public forums and make decisions within their committees and commissions and council as well. But also by putting that, whoa, I don't know what all that is, but some people might be incurring expenses because of the extra internet usage by using Zoom or calling in on their phones. So what this is doing is also building in $10 vouchers, basically, that can be issued at the end of by November 1st to people who have attended these meetings at least 75% of the time to try and offset the cost of either extra data buckets or the expense of that. So that in a nutshell is what this is doing. So I don't know if people have questions or concerns or that. We kind of started doing it in March when it started to kind of kick up and appear in Alaska, and we kind of moved away from that and started having meetings in person, I know, as council. And I also think some of the commissions started doing that as well in committees. And so this is just kind of going back to that and showing we actually don't want to put people in danger or force people to compromise their values on this issue.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. Ms. Leary?
Yes, I'm in favor of this. I'm in favor of this resolution. I had been thinking about this was on my mind. I just hadn't had time to try to bring something forward. So just thank you, Ms. Hansen. You put something forward that I was thinking about too. So I am I'm in favor of this. And I just want to say I will decline the voucher myself, but I think this is great for city employees that maybe have to attend several meetings, each month for different committees, to attend our meetings. So I think this is great. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary.
Mayor Barrett, this is Council Member DeWitt. On this agenda item, it's kind of got two parts. One is the virtual meetings, which I could, I think, participate in. But the second is the vouchers, which when I dug into the documentation on this the other day, looks like would be funded potentially with CARES money. And I have that conflict. So I will, I want to declare that conflict and let you rule on that. Thanks.
And your identified conflict is that you work for BCSF, Michelle?
Right, and I am, yes, exactly, and I am generally conflicted out of anything related to the CARES funding because of our role with that.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Diamond.
Michelle, is the intent of this that $10 bucket voucher, would that come through the CARES money routed through BCSF? Is that what the documentation says? I missed that.
No, not at all, Council Member Diamond. But as a general rule, I think it's the cleanest if I stay out of CARES budget related items with the city. And if we want to talk about that a little bit more, I guess I'd ask that we talk with the city attorney and get some advice from her on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Ms. Backler, would you like to give out an opinion?
On which aspect of this, Mr. Mayor? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, which aspect?
As to whether or not Ms. DeWitt, Councilmember DeWitt, has a conflict with receiving a $10 voucher from the City of Bethel to assist her in possible internet overages or due to meetings and et cetera, Zoom meetings.
No, Your Honor, I don't think so, Mr. Mayor. The code refers to a substantial conflict of interest, and I don't think this qualifies as that.
Thank you, Ms. Bachelor. One of the things that she identified also was that she works for BCSF, and it's pretty much her standard practice to declare a conflict.
I think also she wanted to clarify that she wanted to know she had a conflict in voting on this item. And I don't think so, because this has to do with a lot of other things besides just care stuff. So I don't really see, I don't see a conflict in her voting on this resolution.
Thank you, Ms. McLaur. With assistance from counsel, I'm going to declare that, Ms. DeWitt, you do not have a conflict.
Okay, so, thank you.
Further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to clarify. Councilmember Leary already mentioned it, but I just want to say there's also a part in this that says people can decline the voucher. This is just to help with people who maybe do not have the means or the internet or that to be able to pay for that out of pocket. And it's just trying to provide something that we do value your participation and you're having to do it remotely so that people can get some compensation for it, but they don't have to. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. As the maker of the motion, have you capped it at and suggested that it is capped at $10?
I mean, that's a suggestion for that. As I understand it, that is the price of a bucket, I think they call it. But if there are suggestions for amendments of that, you know, we could discuss that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that clarification.
Mr. Mayor, I had a question for the maker of this resolution for Vice Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Diamond.
That, I pulled this off the consent agenda really because I had one major question. I don't have concerns. When possible, we should be meeting virtually, and the city right now has technology for that. And I'm thinking about the burden on, you know, sometimes I'm at meetings in person, sometimes I'm not. But I think that in general, the less time we're spending large groups in a single room, the better, and we all know that. So I think this is a good thing. I don't have a concern about the small stipend to, especially to citizens who are volunteering their time on the Port Commission or Parks and Rec and something. Because data is expensive in this town. In fact, I just bought two buckets because, you know, of this meeting. In any event, that's why I turned off my video. But I did have a question though. And it looks the way that this is worded is that it's sort of for regularly scheduled meetings of boards and commissions and the city council. And I wanted to be assured that this doesn't apply to some sort of real emergency of a meeting. I don't mean an emergency city council meeting. I mean, there's a real emergency. You know, the fire station's burning down or there's a serious, serious COVID issue. Because there are times when people have to make decisions very quickly. The city manager might have to pull together the chief of police and the fire chief and make a call. Or the EOC director may have to make a decision very, very quickly. And in reality, when those situations come up, you can't do it. You can't do it effectively if someone's looking over your shoulder saying you've got to do it by text or you have to do it by Zoom, not when you have 10 minutes to make a call. So does this apply to
emergency meetings of the EOC or the city manager and department heads? That'd be a question.
Ms. Hansen, was that your intent?
I guess when I think about those emergency situations, I think about phone calls. But I mean, if the situation requires people to be face-to-face as opposed to a phone call, I guess we could make an amendment in this resolution, but I don't know what couldn't be accomplished by calling somebody in an emergency situation over the phone, I guess is where my head's at. I don't know if other people have responses to that as well.
Ms. Strickler, would you like to add something?
I do, yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So under Section 1, it identifies under the resolved portion of the resolution that this would only apply to committees, commissions, boards, and council meetings of the City of Bethel and would not necessarily apply to that of the staff members, who also would not at this point be qualifying for the vouchers either. So I believe the city manager would have discretion, to pull the team in for an EOC meeting. If it needed to be face-to-face, well, obviously following the social distancing requirements and measures. But at this point, this resolution only applies to our volunteer bodies. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Strickler.
That's how I read it, too. But we can see that wasn't necessarily the vice mayor's intent. I could make an amendment to this to allow... In certain dire circumstances, a meeting has to happen face to face, and the city manager can make that call. That's why we pay them. That's why we have someone. That's why sometimes you have a single member in charge. But I won't make that amendment. I don't have to make that amendment based on my reading is the same as the acting city managers and the city clerk. So I don't have to make that. But there is a place where decisions have to get made quickly and decisions are made much better when they're done in person. And it does happen. And Mr. Barry, I mean, you know that from EOC, from things in the past.
Yeah, Mr. Diamond, the intent being that, like Laurie said, it's public meetings. So I don't necessarily think that amendment is needed for this. But I do definitely understand what you're saying, that there are times where, changes might have to be made, but for this, we're speaking about council committees, commissions, and boards. So that might make it easier to just kind of keep it in that box.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm fully in support of this. And I think this is a good thing you did then.
Thanks.
Further discussion. If not, all those in favor of adopting resolution 20-13 as written indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. We're moving on to 10.6 action memorandum 20-38. Refer to the Planning Commission the review and prioritization of hazards and nuisance properties for municipal action. This was brought forth by Vice Mayor Hansen. I would entertain a main motion to approve action memorandum 20-38.
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen.
Second.
Mr. Diamond, thank you for the second. Discussion, Ms. Hansen as the maker of the motion.
Yeah, this is this came up in our last council meeting in the priorities list that Councilmember DeWitt updated us with and kind of the action plan for each of these items that we had discussed in our council retreat. And so at the time, because I didn't quite know how things worked, I tried to send this to the Planning Commission to prioritize and deal with, which are hazards and nuisance properties. And that was not the correct action. So now I have in front of you the action memorandum that will officially, if you guys so agree, send it to the Planning Commission to begin surveying neighborhoods in town and identifying what are known as blight properties that have become public nuisances, and basically prioritizing which ones are the most hazardous, whether it's a fire hazard, health hazard, or public nuisance. And what this does is then provide notice to the property owner of their need to correct the hazard and or nuisance, and begins abatement procedures if the corrective measures are not taken by the property owner. This is something that's been voiced in planning commission meetings and also by council members as being important, is trying to clean up Bethel and remove potential hazards for people who are either using these properties as squatting locations, kids getting into it, messing around, getting hurt, and that kind of thing. So this is just giving the planning commission a task to do this work using their expertise with the city's building, planning, and zoning codes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Mr. Diamond, would you like to add anything?
Hey, that was Ms. Mayor Hansen.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was Mr. Diamond that seconded the motion.
No, I had a question for the vice mayor.
Go ahead, Mr. Diamond.
Yeah, thanks. Is it, and just to assure me, I assume that this is under the Planning Commission's purview. I mean, I would hope so, but I just didn't know that.
Yes, working in partnership with Ted Meyer, the planning director.
Okay.
Further discussion. It is something that the council has talked about for many months as to how can we beautify Bethel, how can we make it safer, how can we make it cleaner, how can we improve things within this community. So thanks for pushing this through, Ms. Hansen, Vice Mayor Hansen. Hearing no other further discussion, we have a motion on the floor to approve Action Memorandum 20-38. All those in favor of such indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everybody. Item 10.7, Action Memorandum 20-39, authorizing a waiver to permit administration to hire Leif Albertson as a contractor or consultant to act as the Emergency Operations Director in the city's Emergency Operations Center. And this was brought forth by Councilmember Springer. So I would entertain a main motion to approve Action Memorandum 20-39.
Yeah, I guess I'll move Action Memorandum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond, for discussion. Mr. Springer, as the maker of the motion, you have first debate.
Sure, thanks. Yeah. I guess I didn't realize that I was my name was on the action memorandum, but that's okay. Now, I looked at it when Lori first brought it out, and my biggest concerns with the original draft were that it referred to Mr. Albertson's business as being the contractor, and the issue is that if Mr. Albertson was to be employed by the city as the BOC director or any other position, he would have to be a contractor to the city, not his firm. So that was kind of my contribution to the draft there. We discussed this at some length at the last council meeting, and he's certainly qualified to fill this sort of position by dint of his experience in public health up at OIK. There's also some discussion about expression of opinions, and I would tend to think that somebody of Mr. Albertson's experience and caliber was brought into this position, it would be strictly, he would operate strictly on a professional level. So I would just leave my comments to that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Council Member Springer. Mr. Diamond as a second to the motion.
Mr. Albertson's totally qualified for this. And the city and the community, we just
all need to work together, and you bring on board whoever has an area of expertise, and his expertise in some of this area is greater than many of ours. I mean, all of a sudden we're all amateur epidemiologists and immunologists, but he has some real educational background. And if at one point, that doesn't mean I might agree with everything he says. I'm sure he said something that I personally disagree with, and that's to be expected, because scientists and immunologists and epidemiologists do disagree with each other. The science is shifting, and it always is. But we made clear at our last council meeting that the director will always defer to what DHSS and CDC and WHO have said. So, and that's okay. And that's what I do as a council member. I've got lots of personal opinions about this, but my job is to, in this case, is for the most part, to defer to the consensus of health experts. And I know Mr. Albertson does. So we need to bring him on board, and we should be, and it would be a benefit to the community. Boy.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Further discussion.
Mayor Barr, I'm so sorry. This is Michelle again. It's the same old weary song and dance from me about my conflict, but I really do have one on this, and I really can't vote on this item due to my employer and the situation with CARES. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. The chair recognizes that you do have a conflict, and I will rule as such. Thank you for reminding us, Mr. DeWitt. Ms. DeWitt, further discussion? I guess for me, one of the things that I realized at the when we ramped up our EOC, our Emergency Operations Center, the last go around, we realized that sometimes some EOC members may not be available to participate, and we needed, the job duties of a city manager and or other persons within this organization at the city office. They may not be able to participate as a EOC member. And I'd like to remind the public that we do have several job openings for the EOC to staff the EOC. We have a logistics chief. We have a liaison officer. We have, I believe, a supply chief. So there's those jobs available, and they pay fantastic. So if you're unemployed out there and you have some skills in the ICS, the Incident Command System, or NIMS, the National Incident Management System, and you'd like to contribute to the emergency operations at the city, please apply online. The applications are online, and again, they pay very, very well. One of the parts of this action memorandum that I like to point out is the Bethel Municipal Code states that no member of the council may be employed by the city in any capacity within a 12-month period unless there is a waiver. And that is part of the action memorandum that we're pushing through tonight. And I wanted that to be transparent and out there. Mr. Albertson was a city council member. I believe it's been about 5 months ago or so.
October
of 2019. So October of 2019, so 10 months ago, 9 months ago. So with that being said, further discussion? If not, I'm sorry, Lori.
Yes, I'm sorry. I just wanted to share with the council that I spoke with Leif Albertson with regard to this waiver, and he wanted to make sure that the council members knew that because of his employment with the University of Alaska, that his time on this and under this waiver would be limited to 10 hours a week in fulfilling this service on a contract basis for the city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for that additional information, Ms. Strickler. Further discussion? Pushing this right along, all those in favor of approval of the action memorandum? Sorry?
Yeah, I had a question real quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Is if we were to go to full stand-up, and he can only do 10 hours a week, kind of where do we go from there? I mean, would that just go to the deputy if we had one?
One of the things that we tried to, Vice Mayor Hansen tried to do, is we tried to create a B team in the sense of if the original EOC ICS members were not available, then we would go to the deputies. And we're still trying to formulate that. We're still trying to form that. We have two other people that have stepped up from LKSD and are working as, or I shouldn't say working, but they're available as substitutes. So we're still trying to find that B team. And again, the plea has gone out, and I'll make the plea again to the community of Bethel. If you do have any experience as an emergency operation center person or someone trained in the incident command system or the national incident management system, or you'd like to get some training online, the training is available online. And it's if you take all the tests and if you pass all the tests, you'd be able to print out certificates. So please do that if you are unemployed and you're looking for something meaningful to do. So thank you, Ms. Hansen.
Hey, Mayor Barr, I just have one follow-up question to something you just said. Is
yes, ma'am.
So I thought I asked this last week, but I still haven't seen anything. Is there any way that we can get those list of classes published somewhere? Because if you actually go onto those websites and you look at the courses, there are, like, no joke, at least 50 classes to take. And I mean, unless people are feeling like being overachievers, I don't know that they need to take all 50 courses to then be eligible to apply for these positions. So I don't know if that's something that needs to be directed to City Manager Carraza or somebody, but these need to get out to the public because as we keep saying, there are courses to go take, which courses? I think that's a hurdle for people. So I think we need to, I don't know if that's something I need to talk to the city manager about or what. I mean, I have already, and I haven't received anything back. So I'm kind of feeling a little bit stuck in this because I feel like we can't move forward without it.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. One of the things that I'll say is I've taken those classes and they are very simple. They're very simple to do. And once you go through about the first three or four, maybe five of those, you will really gain a grasp of what ICS is all about. In my personal opinion, maybe the first three or four or five would be the minimum that you should take. Once you get a understanding of that system, you'll be able to understand what your roles and responsibilities are in a incident command system. And they are online. They're under the, I believe they're under FEMA, under the FEMA umbrella. And if you just Professor Google incident command system, you'll be able to go right to their website. Ms. Strickler, would you like to add something?
Yeah, just two things. So we'll have those courses linked to the job advertisements by the end of the week. But also, I just received a quick text from Leif Albertson, and he wanted to clarify that if there is an emergency and he is in need to work in excess of those 10 hours, that he would be able to. But if there is not, that he would be restricted to the 10 hours. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. If there's no further discussion, I'm going to push this through, which is approving the main motion, or the main motion, which is to approve action memorandum 20-39. So all those in favor of such indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. And we're going on over. We had moved item 10.8 to the front of the line, so we're going to skip over that. We're up to 10.8 have been moved up And we're moving on to 10.9, which is personal leave, city clerk, August 21, 2020. That was sponsored by myself, and that passed on the consent agenda. We're up to item number 11, 11.1, which is the mayor's report. I don't have anything in my mayor's report. We'll move on to the city manager's report. And city manager Carrazza is off for the next 3 weeks. He had left last Friday, and he'll be gone for that period of time. The city manager's report is in your packets, and it's available online for members of the public that are interested in reading the city manager's report. And we're going to glance over that unless city council members have a would like to discuss any item of the city manager's report. Not hearing anybody, we'll move on to item 11.3, which is the clerk's report. Ms. Strickler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the only thing that I'd like to share with the public is that we have three qualified candidates that you will find on your October 6th ballot for the Bethel City Council's regular election. And those certified candidates are Perry Barr, Michelle DeWitt, and Rose Sugar Henderson. We also just today certified a write-in candidate, DJ McCormick. So you guys can start expecting to see some more election information coming out through our website and our Facebook page. Again, we're providing by-mail ballot opportunities, early voting opportunities, and internet voting opportunities, or internet distribution of ballot opportunities to ensure that our voters during this time of COVID-19 have plenty of options to vote safely in our October election. I'm also working very closely with the University of Alaska and LKSD in making sure that our precinct locations are adequate for the space that we may need to ensure that there's adequate social distancing. That's all that I have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Any questions or comments for the city clerk from the council? I know with this COVID-19 and this work from home stuff, Lori, you're still working very diligently and very hard at what you do. It is not, it does not go without notice. So thank you for that, Lori. And we're moving on to council member comments. I'm going to work from the bottom up. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything derogatory, but let's start with council member Diamond. Mr. Diamond? Was he kicked off, Kevin?
Councilmember Diamond, I'm showing you as your mute button is on.
I'm sorry, I'm back on. I'm sorry, I put it on mute for a minute. Are we good now?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you. So, Councilmember comments. Actually, it's a productive meeting. We got some things done, I thought. So, I just wanted to comment that after the last meeting, we had a special meeting. You may remember that, you know, we had a couple of administration out on COVID quarantine. So I was in what I was worried about, you know, in time of war, you call that a head strike, right? Decapitation strike. So that's what I was worried about. But at that meeting, after speaking with every department head, I felt much, much better that those folks had things in hand. And that in an emergency, and I've watched the city for many years and been a member of city politics in the past, but that in an emergency, those folks, right, primary things, water, sewer, fire, EMT, police, could do what needed to be done. So I felt much, much better after that. And yes, we knew that department heads were spending time on EOC, but in a crunch, that's what it's going to be too. I mean, we're out trying to hire people, but in the end, if there's a real crunch, what's going to happen is that city personnel are going to come together and do what needs to be done because that's what they signed on for. So I feel okay about that. And I do want to encourage people to get their flu shots, and you'll start hearing more and more of that from YKHC and other public health officials. And because if everyone can get their flu shot, that's really going to help in this situation, because we're not going to be plugging up emergency rooms with people with bad flus, or less people. So that's important too. So I just want to encourage people to get the flu shots when they do become available. And that's going to help in terms of COVID as well. It's not going to help protect someone from COVID, but it's going to help the medical system, right? Not be overwhelmed. So with that, I'm good. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. And Council Member Ms. DeWitt.
I actually have no real comments. Thanks for the debate on the sugar sweetened beverage tax. And I will look forward to hearing council's ideas for making up the revenue gap and expanding recreational services in the community. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. And Council Member Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I want to wish good luck to everybody who's going out moose hunting next week. I understand there's a run on licenses over at Fish and Game. And I want to give a shout out. I wasn't one this time. I'm a grandparent who sent a couple of grandkids to my edge. I don't have any children there, but just a shout out to Janelle Benass and the staff down there at Mount Edgecombe, who are in loco parentis for the kids that are down there. They've already had a couple of COVID-19 positives and dealt with it according to their plan. And I know I've got a lot of faith in the job they're doing down there. There's a lot of kids there from the region. I would like to echo what Susan Taylor said this morning, particularly about the census. I'm still guilty of not calling the 800 number yet. I've got the card somewhere on my desk. I got to do it. And let me just repeat something I said once before. If you think the census called you this spring, it was not the census. It was the Census Bureau. It was the American Community Survey, but it was not the the decennial census. So if you think you'd already done it, you probably didn't. So if you get a tag on your door, call. The last thing we need is for Bethel to be counted anywhere less than, you know, the 6,000 people we have now, because it's going to affect reapportionment when they draw new districts. Bethel doesn't want to end up in the same district as Wasilla. Historically in this state, much stranger things have happened. So get counted. And if you're an employer, you bring people in from out of town to work here, you have the right to tell them a condition of employment is to be tested either before they come here or when they get to the airport to be tested for COVID-19. It's employers who really carry the stick in rural Alaska, whether they are people here that are hiring or whether they're contractors that are working for, organizations out here. But everybody get tested. If you haven't been, go do it. If you have been and you turned up negative, you should probably go get tested again, because we know two things are true. Winter is coming and COVID-19 is already here. So thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. And we're moving on up to Council Member Franco. Ms. Franco?
Thank you, Mayor Barr. I don't have a whole lot to offer besides what's already been said, but I do believe school started this week. That looked a lot, looked very non-traditional. I know to the normal school year start, but I just hope that all of the kids and families and parents are hanging in there and doing their best. I know there's a lot, hopefully a lot of resources through LKSD, a lot of different resources online about homeschooling and different programs available. I think there's opportunities to be pretty creative. I know this isn't really how most people want the school year to go, but it's an opportunity to be creative with education. And I do believe the library is open by appointment starting next week. And that's another avenue to get some books and some resources for the students at home. And just good luck with the school year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Council Member Leary. Ms. Leary.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. Dogs are an issue tonight. I just want to remind the public to keep up all the protective measures that we know work against COVID. Keep masking up. Keep practicing social distancing. Keep your social circles small. When you're returning from travel, it's best to test and quarantine. The COVID, the SARS-CoV-2 virus can incubate in our bodies for up to 14 days before it would show up on a test or before we would have any symptoms. So as has been stated tonight, testing does not replace quarantine. I know the city is looking very seriously at what avenues we can take to put in place any mandates for the community. I know a lot of citizens really want to see something, and I'm concerned with part of that is the enforcement arm. I'm not interested in just putting something on a piece of paper and not having a way to actually follow through with that and make sure it's being done. I know some members of the council are interested in that. I know some members of the city administration are interested in, what can we do? I appreciate the public continuing to, provide input to us on what they would like to see. I understand the concern. And I think I've just personally been apprehensive to put anything into a mandate, into a requirement that, like it's been said a million times, that we don't actually have the power to do. But that aside, I just would really like to make sure we have a way to enforce anything that we do put forward. So that's it. Thank you. Thanks everyone for being here tonight.
Thank you, Mrs. Leary. Vice Mayor Hansen. Ms. Hansen?
I just had one thing, and I wanted to thank Lori and the election officials who put on our election and did such an amazing job with providing sanitizer and spacing and gloves and personnel who were following all of those as well, and just making it feel like a really safe, comfortable experience. I had multiple community members tell me how well the city did with those elections and how good they felt about going there in person to cast their ballots and cleaning pens after being used and spacing between ballot boxes and polling booths. And I just was super impressed by that, and other people in the community were. So I just wanted to commend Lori and other elections officials who put that on for us. So thank you.
I just wanted to clarify that actually that was 100% the state and the state's hired election officials. We provided some support initially, but the hosting of the in-person precincts on election day was unfortunately not my office, but I hope to see or hear the same praises after October 8th. Thanks, Haley.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen and Ms. Strickler. We all know that you provide a lot of direction and the whip. So I think you can take some credit for that. So thank you for that.
We did handle absentee in-person voting.
There we go. So for me, I'm going to try to make it real quick. One of the things that I think that we need to remind ourselves with all these precautions that we're taking for other things is wear your darn PFDs out on the river. When you're out boating, we've had two drownings within the last week, and they were unnecessary as usual. They weren't wearing PFDs. So, every year we at Bethel Search and Rescue, we're always glad when we survive a season unscathed, whatever season that is. We thought we were going to do that with our boating season, but unfortunately not. Now that it's getting darker, you know, wear your PFDs. You'll find a lot more boats out there at dark. You'll may find some debris in the water that's going to really hurt you or the boat. And speaking of going dark, it's that time of the year to start wearing reflective gear. You know, how many near misses did we have in the past where people weren't wearing reflective gear on their coats? And I know Miss Larry and her program did a fantastic job last year in providing reflective tape and the opportunity for getting that done, putting it on coats and whatnot. So, Miss Larry, I hope that happens again this year, but with the COVID, I think it's going to have to be done a little differently. The landscape of Bethel is changing. The old Kilbuck School is being torn down and being moved away. So I don't know if the public realizes it, but we have ownership of that lot. The city of Bethel owns that lot. I've already heard some suggestions as to how we can use that lot. I heard maybe a football field, maybe a baseball field, maybe a soccer field, but just a place where a lot of people can congregate at a safe distance, and it's our park. So I would remind the public that, or I should say to the public that if you have any suggestions for that old Kilbuck school area, please let us know. And lastly, I had a meeting with Senator Hoffman and YKHC Tiffany Zolkowski, along with our staff, Ms. Strickler and Ms. Bacalar, where the Department of Law from the state of Alaska came out with an opinion as to what second-class cities can do. So we're going to look at that a little harder, a little further, and see if, you know, with the advice of our attorney and all available information that we can have, we're going to hopefully make a very informed decision. But absolutely, I hear the stories about people not wearing masks, not testing upon entry to Bethel. We are very concerned as a council, as people within the community, as family members. So we hear you, and I really, really wish that, you know, we could have moved maybe a little farther, a little faster, maybe a little harder in the past to try and minimize exposure. But believe me, we're trying. So that's it for me. I appreciate everybody's attention, attendance, and input. We're moving on to item number 13, which is executive session. There is no need unless there is a council member that would like to. Oh, I'm sorry. We can't do that. Mm-mm. So there is no executive session on the agenda.
So Mayor, I move to adjourn. 13.
I thought it might be you. Thank you, Mrs. Springer. Second by Larry. Was that you?
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hansen. Thank you, Ms. Hansen. All those in favor of adjournment indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Okay. Aye, everybody.
Good night, everybody. It's now 9:30 p.m. And we're done.